Our scripture reading from today is a continuation from last week. If you remember last week, we started talking about the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' greatest and longest sermon. And last week, we did the Beatitudes, all the blessings, blessed are. We talked a little bit about them. We continue today with what Jesus says next. And I ask you to listen to see where you might fall into place. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the last of the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the very words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week when we started talking, I did not take the time, just because I wanted to cover a lot, to talk a little bit about my own experience with the Mount of the Beatitudes. Now, the last week's Saturday worship did get a little bit of this. I have been to Israel twice, thank you, Lord. It was by the grace of God both times. One time I went, just my first trip there, somebody else leading and coordinating, and the next time I coordinated the trip, but of course we had tour guides all along the way to help us learn and to grow. But when we went to the Mount of Beatitudes, one of the things you need to know about if you ever go to Israel, how many of you have been to Israel? Anybody been to Israel? Oh boy, we could go. One thing you need to know, though, right away, just before you even make the decision to go, you need to know Israel is going to give you what you do not expect and will not give you what you want. But Israel will give you, a trip to Israel will give you what you need. It is an amazing experience. But the places that you think are going to be so holy and you know, will change and transform your life, usually don't. It's the places you didn't expect that transform your life. The Mount of Beatitudes is one of those places. Now, I was looking forward very much to the Mount of Beatitudes, but I did not realize how much it would affect me. The Mount of the Beatitudes is on a mountain. It really is a mountain. Now, I know that all of you know this, but just as a reminder, oh, I thought you were waving at me. I'm sorry, I thought my mic wasn't on or something. The Mount of the Beatitudes, just like every other site that's been identified as a holy site, has a church or a synagogue built over the top of it. There's a reason for that. When there is war, the hope is that whoever's warring will leave those sites alone because they are holy sites. No matter what the religion is, that they won't bomb those sites. So they built churches and synagogues and, you know, Muslim temples and things to cover their holy sites. So there's a church at the Mount of the Beatitudes, beautiful church. Has a walk-around porch, inside stained glass windows of all of the blessings, the Beatitudes. But it's outside, on the mount, where the holiness happens. This, I have read for years, the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, it talks about how thousands come to Jesus on this mountainside, and he taught them. He sat down and he taught them. And I always thought, now really? I mean, there were no speakers, no sound system, no microphones, no bullhorns, no nothing for sound amplification. So really? I mean, thousands, all the way at the base? But when I got there, I was taught that the Mount of Beatitudes is a natural phenomenon, as we have in other places, where when you stand at the top of the mountain, you really can't hear all the way down at the bottom of the mountain. Now, a person needs to enunciate, but I believe my Savior always enunciated. And a person needs to be passionate about what they're saying. They can't just stand around now like that. Okay? But I don't believe my Savior ever talked that way. When I went out to the mount, I realized that I could hear the people in the tour buses driving on the road at the bottom of the mountain. I could hear their voices. So that meant they could hear mine. So that means Jesus could have truly taught thousands on that mountainside. And he sits down and he teaches them all these wonderful things. Now, who was there? All of the government authorities? Nope. One or two spies, yes. One or two Roman folks that, you know, were keeping tabs on him, yep. Some Romans that wanted to hear him, yep. What about the Jews? The priests and the high priests? Nope. They sent representatives to hear what Jesus had to say, but they were more like spies than they were listening for their own good. Who was there? Everyday folks. You and me. Everyday, go about your business folks. The folks that had trouble scraping out a living. The folks who were diseased. The folks who were hurting. The folks who suffered loss. The folks who just had a baby. The folks who just lost a baby. The folks that came there because they truly believed in the power of Jesus Christ and they believed in new possibilities. Those are the people that came. The people with open hearts. The people with open minds. The people who are ready for a revolution unlike anything that's ever come before. A revolution of love. Well, that sounds kind of hippie-dipster 1970s preacher. Well, I grew up in the 70s, so I'm hippie-dipster. So what? Doesn't make it not true. Jesus came and he sat down with thousands of people, a lot of whom nobody would even pay any attention to were they to see him on the street. Sunday school talked about this morning. Just go walking by and you don't make any eye contact, and whatever you do, don't you say anything. Don't you smile at that person and say, hi. Hello, how's your day? Hi, bless you. No. These people were people that you wouldn't want to talk to, that you'd want to stay away from most of the time. They might not have had a bath for a day or two or five or 10 or 20. They might not have had their hair just done and coiffed. But Jesus wants them there. Jesus calls them there and he says, You are, not you will be, not I want you to be, not I wish you could be, you are the salt of the earth. You are what makes this earth God's planet. You are the one that brings flavor into the world. You are the one got to stay salty. Because if you lose your saltiness, I don't have anybody to count on in the world. There's a whole bunch of people that have abandoned their saltiness. And they're more vinegary than salty. I need you all to be who you are. The salt of the earth. Can you imagine what that would have sounded like to those people? To have this man, whom they were learning was Messiah, the Savior, their Lord, say, you, not the government high ups, not the church high ups, you're the salt of the earth. You're my people. But he goes on. You are the light of the world. Not somebody else, you. All of you are the light. Do you know how much light we can radiate with this group of people? Right out of the ceiling. A beacon that would go for miles and miles and miles and miles and bring everybody in because we want to know, what's this light all about? And we can show them. As long as you don't put a covering over your light. Now, in order for us to shine our lights, we can't cover up our hearts. We can't put protective covering around them and say, I'm not going to let anybody hurt me ever, ever again. Unfortunately, Jesus asks us to be vulnerable. To be light and salt to the world, but that makes us vulnerable. We might be hurt. We might be criticized. We might be condemned. We might look like fools. But Jesus says, you are my light to the world, and I need you to shine as brightly as you possibly can. You don't have to do it alone, at least not always. Some days, yeah. But most days you can come together as groups, big groups or little groups, and you can shine my light. And my light is compassion and forgiveness. My light is love and second chances. My light fills this earth with goodness. My light appears when we take communion. My light appears when we have new beginnings. My light appears wherever there is unconditional love. Now, how does that sound to you? Because to me, that's awfully good news. It's scary. It's scary. I got to be the salt, and I got to be the light, and that's a lot of responsibility. But I got to tell you something. My life has been filled with good and bad. I've been wounded, I've been injured, I've been tortured, physically and mentally and spiritually at times in my life. For Jesus to say to me, you are my light, my salt, heals wounds in me that nobody wants to talk about. It heals things in me and makes me want to stand up strong and tall, and it should for you too. All of us have woundedness within us. All of us carry scars. But Jesus reaches out and he says, with those scars and that woundedness, you are my salt. You are my light because you understand. I need you to shine. Because you can help even more. I don't wish harm to anybody. But instead of bearing our scars with anger and frustration and hostility, if we will bear our scars to Jesus and let him place healing and wholeness within us, so that then we can shine light, there's nothing we can't do at that point. no evil we can't conquer. There is no hate we cannot overcome. There is no sin we cannot stop. For our Lord and Savior says to you and to me and to us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light to the world. Let us pray. Almighty God, how you put trust in us. We are not worthy, we are not worthy, we are not worthy, and that is not the requirement. We are willing, we are willing, we are willing. By you we are able, not by our own, not by our strength, not by our power, not by our own knowledge, but by you we are able to be salt and light to this world. Lord, help us be that salt and light. Help us celebrate that you want us. You want us. You love us so much. You want us to be your light and your salt to the earth. And help us share that with others, because there are others out there who do not know, who do not understand, who do not believe that they are salt and light also. Lord, help us be the bearers of the good news to them. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today, as I understand it, is a new one. Learn it. Love it. It's an amazing song. It is a praise and worship song that has been around for quite a while. It speaks of shining as God's holy light. During the course of my pastorate here, we will sing it a lot. I mean, not every week, but, you know, we will sing it a lot, because I truly believe that this passage of Scripture, as well as a lot of others from Jesus Christ, are encapsulated in this Scripture. You will notice that the Scripture that is actually recorded there is Revelation, but it fits a lot of Scriptures. This is a praise song. Let us stand and praise God.